It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. Today on the show, kids, young adults, and some of the biggest pressures they're facing these days.
I mean, I feel like AI explains things sometimes better.
Like how to use artificial intelligence.
It's really good at visualizing certain tasks and can give you a much better understanding than certain teachers explaining something to you.
These are students at Francis C. Hammond Middle School in Alexandria, Virginia, talking about the pros and cons of using chatbots to help them with their schoolwork.
Using AI doesn't help us to be a good writer because in essays, you need to use your own ideas.
But like, if you need an idea and you're going to make the rest of the essay by yourself, but you're using the AI to get like a concept of something, it would be okay.
You just heard from Amin Amde, Langston Young, Adiba Sadie, and Sarah Nagus. And as a new school year starts, the hot debate going on right now is how much AI is supporting or hindering students' ability to learn. As you just heard, kids have differing opinions. They're teachers, too.
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Chris Hudson is the library media specialist at the school. He's dismayed at how quick his students are to trust the information AI spits out and outsource their own thinking.
They gravitate toward the AI overviews for pretty much everything. So anything they do a Google search for, the AI overview they think is gospel. So they're taking that information and tossing it into papers, whether it's accurate or not. And in some cases, when they feel a little stressed regarding something that requires their own creativity or their own brain power, and they don't necessarily think they'll do the best job, they'll pull something from a ChatGPT or a Gemini and try to pass that off as their own work.
But Chris's colleague, Dominique Jones, she admits that keeping up with growing class sizes and growing demands on her time, well, AI can be a huge help.
One of the programs that we actually have a license for, they have AI built in to grade the students' writing. It will generate the comments, the feedback to the kids. I don't have the capacity to grade 98 papers and give you a long response to something you did well, something you need to work on, and then just the overall nice statement. So it saved me hours.
AI is just one of the forces shaping young people's lives right now. Today's kids are growing up in a world of economic upheaval, social media pressures, and a future that often feels precarious. So over the next 2 weeks, we are asking, are the kids all right? How are they coping? Are parents, educators, and the systems around them helping or hurting? And what is coming fast around the next corner?
Your kids' kids may not read and write. They'll be watching and listening instead.
This is Victor Riparbelli. He's the co-founder and CEO of Synthesia, a company that uses AI to create video lessons led by lifelike avatars.
Hey there, learners. Today, we're diving into the world of critical thinking.
Let's introduce you to the exciting world of neural networks.
In this quick video, you'll learn about some real-life examples of Newton's third law.
These digital instructors can teach anything, in any language, at any time.
But how can we make
Riparbelli believes the traditional classroom and the way we've taught for centuries could soon be obsolete. Here he is on the TED stage.
Your grandchildren will be the last generation to read and write. I know that sounds strange, almost unthinkable, but today I'm going to make the case that humanity's relentless pursuit of better ways to convey ideas and preserve knowledge doesn't end with text. I think we're at the dawn of a new era of AI-enabled communication. And I think that future generations will slowly replace text with more intuitive forms of communication, like audio, video, and eventually immersive technologies. And one day, I think we'll look back at reading and writing as historical artifacts, like we do with papyrus scrolls or hieroglyphs or cave paintings.
This is a huge claim to make that brings up a lot of feelings for people. And on the one hand, I'm thinking, you know, no, I love to read. I feel connected to the words on the page. When you hear me say that, do you just hear nostalgia or do you hear a deeply human feeling about how we communicate?
You know, that statement obviously is a statement I made to provoke on purpose. I don't necessarily think that all reading will go away. I think things like fiction, for example, I think we'll enjoy that. But I think when we talk purely about teaching and education and information exchange, I do think that we as humans are better off with video and audio content. And I do think that if we look back in 50, 60, 70, 100 years' time, the way we consume information will not be text-driven, it'll be driven by video and audio, and maybe at that point, like VR and immersive technologies.
Mm.
What is the most effective way to teach someone something? Most people would agree that that's probably himself or herself teaching the kids something in front of a whiteboard or with a computer in front of them. And why is that the best way of teaching someone something? Well, you can adjust the learning to their pace, right? Some may be very quick to pick up some things, some maybe a little bit more time and more examples. A lot of the time, you probably want to show them a visual example. That's how you teach someone really well. How can you use these technologies to do the same thing? Because it's pretty hard to do this every day, right? But what if you do a lecture and it's half an hour of you teaching in the classroom and then it's 15 minutes where every student talks to an AI agent and that agent then assesses how well the student comprehends that knowledge. It takes some notes, it shares that note with the teacher and the teacher can then decide what the path is for that particular student, right? It's really like sitting down with a teacher that has infinite time and responds immediately to you. And I think that is just absolutely magical.
Do you mind walking me through exactly how this transition, you picture this transition going for the next 10, 20 years?
It is very obvious that especially the young generation today, they prefer to consume their content by watching and listening, videos, podcasts, etc., than reading long books. If I want to learn something now, I go on YouTube and I'll watch a 30-minute video. And most of the time, depending on what you learn, but I'd say it's very few topics that you read, you learn better through pure text. Most of the time, right, you learn something better by watching videos, seeing diagrams, animations. It stimulates more of your brain. It feels more like how we consume information in the real world. And that is like going to be a big trend in society.
Do you want to learn music theory from a long book or from a video on YouTube that has audio? Do you want to listen to the news on a podcast on the way to work? Or fold out this physical piece of paper somewhere? Most people feel like this, but we all have this guilt. I feel guilty when I watch videos instead of picking up a good old-fashioned book. And you hear the commentary on this, young people are unable to focus anymore. They need constant dopamine hits from cheap content that they scroll through on their social media apps. They don't get outside their room anymore, right? I have a provocative idea. What if we're all just tired of overly dense, slow information? Books with too many pages, newspaper articles with filler. What if we become much more sensitive to the quality and the conciseness of the content that we consume because we now have infinite choice? What if the current generation of kids are able to learn and absorb information much faster because of technology, not despite it? Is the problem us or is the problem text? With AI, we can get both speed, scale, accuracy, and engagement. AI can create highly photorealistic content digitally. Computers can learn what the world looks like, and it can replicate it and remix it in amazing details. This is going to usher in a new wave of creativity. And it's not going to be driven by Hollywood. It's going to be driven by YouTubers and young people with great ideas who take these tools and tell amazing stories.
So I'm trying to picture this. Do you see like a kid, instead of writing a short story, maybe they would use software that creates an entire video of a short story that looks real? Like instead of writing, "There was once a family," you would literally see a family that looks completely realistic coming together in a living room as the opening scene that they would have written previously. Like that?
Exactly like that. With AI, the kind of last frontiers of content creation, the things that have been really difficult to put into software is happening, right? And so I think the best analogy to this really is music. With the advent of samplers, right, you could take pieces of things from the real world and you can combine them together to create music. When I was 14 years old, I could sit in my room at home and I could make any song I could think of. The only limit was my imagination and putting enough hours into understanding how all these like pieces of software work together for me to be able to bring that vision to life, right? And that's why what we've seen in the music industry over the last 20 years is a Cambrian explosion of new genres, talent from anywhere. But if you look at filmmaking, for example, you probably have to go study film first. You have to get millions of dollars if you want to create anything. You have to know all the right people, where you are in the world. matters a lot. And essentially what AI is going to do now is like that last frontier of working with video and audio and a lot of these disciplines will become kind of a fully digital workflow. And not just that, but it'll also become so easy that anyone can do it, right?
Okay, so I have questions. How does a kid get to the point where they can imagine this whole world brought together by video if they haven't done the work of learning how to put together ideas? We're seeing that now with AI and large language models. Professors are saying that kids are handing in papers written by these chatbots that the kids don't even know how bad they are because they haven't developed the critical skills.
Well, I think that's all part of society developing around these technologies. And I think the jury will be out whether those kids today who have access to GPT will do better or worse than the pre-internet generation in terms of overall intelligence and knowledge of the world. And I mean, none of us know this, right? But my guess would be that the generation that grows up today will be much more informed and much smarter than the generation that grew up 50 years ago. Mm. I think we always worry about these things being the end of education, the end of like critical thought. And I think there's always a kernel of truth in them. But I think, you know, kids are smarter than we think they are. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, think twice about how we do these things. But I think if you look historically at how technology has impacted learning and education all across the world, I think it's very difficult to make an argument that it's not going one direction, which is that we become smarter and smarter and we know more and more. And I think as much as some of these problems are caused by LLMs, I think a lot of them can also be solved with AI. And on the thing of like how people get the imagination to make a story, I think, do you need that to make a story? Can't you just make 100 stories? You'll kind of slowly figure out what you like and what you don't like.
When we come back, more from Victor Ripparbelli on AI in education and a middle school teacher's thoughts on AI companies edging their way into the classroom.
Students are very dependent on human interaction, so it will become a very disengaged environment.
Today on the show, kids, the future, and whether it's going to be all right. It's NPR's TED Radio Hour. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and we'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. Today on the show, we're looking at the pressures that kids and teens are facing, whether it's navigating mental health, tech in the classroom, or the rise of AI. We were just hearing from technologist Victor Ripparbelli about how AI and video technology are making it possible to create avatars that teach and train humans in new ways.
Today, our avatars already interact with millions of people every single day. They teach school subjects, they onboard restaurant workers, provide health guidance, and sell products in more than 130 different languages. And they're getting really good. Very soon, they'll be very difficult to distinguish from reality. So with these technologies, we can create anything without the need for cameras. We can bring our imaginations to life without the traditional barriers of skill and cost. With AI, everyone is going to be able to be a director producing Hollywood-grade video without needing any training at all. Once we combine AI video with reasoning systems like language models, we're going to unlock an entirely new type of media that's going to be interactive and personalized. It's going to be able to think and narrate and personalize content for us. If you're learning music theory, you'll have an assistant that knows your skill level, knows your taste in music, and build a curriculum around that. All of your kids maybe will have their favorite celebrities teaching them math in school. And they'll do it in a context that's interesting for your kid. Maybe that's soccer or sci-fi or whatever. Education is going to be turbocharged with these new AI systems.
I've been playing around a lot with Claude and ChatGPT and other AI, and I'm noticing that it'll come up with something so quickly. And at first I'm like, this is amazing. This paragraph is quality. And then I'll sit down and like get through the sentences and realize it's just a load of nonsense and incredibly simplistic and basic. So how do we begin to make sure that kids don't just think this is magic and assume it's correct? We need to have some sort of barometer of what is quality, what is vetted.
I mean, obviously, we should teach kids about critical thinking and evaluating media content and all these things. I'm not at all saying we shouldn't do that, right? I think that's probably more important than ever. But I think, you know, in the big picture, this is probably the most amazing technology we've ever invented. They will equalize the world of education. Everyone will get their own private tutor, no matter if you're rich or poor. But there's so much upside in how we do education and training with these technologies. Again, of course, we have to be aware of the pitfalls. I just find it so difficult to not be extremely optimistic when you see how these technologies will impact the future of learning, how it'll be, I think, one of the greatest equalizers we've ever seen.
There's no video, AI, robot, not even the videos we use to teach in class that can replace a teacher. Students are very dependent on human interaction. And even if we try to give them videos to preview a topic or to introduce them to something, they will still reach out to us for support.
Dominique Jones teaches language arts at Francis C. Hammond Middle School in Virginia.
Teaching during COVID was a disaster. Everything was using a video. That was the first idea I had to get engagement. And did it work? I had never had so many Fs in my grade book in all of my career. I could give students a video to watch for the lesson and say, okay, this is the topic. This is what we're learning. And they would often come back and say, I don't know what the video was talking about. Can you explain it to me? That's when I got the idea of what school really meant for kids. It was about the human interaction. So I imagine if we had an AI teacher that was their favorite athlete, you know, if I had LeBron teaching me how to write my essay, that's cool and all, but what happens when I don't understand? I 100% think that kids would lose all ability to analyze anything. They're looking for fast, quick answers to everything. Because now I can just go online and say, hey, tell me what this means. It will become a very disengaged environment, and that becomes stressful for the teacher. We've gone through all these years of school, got master's degrees and all the things for what? To watch kids sit on a computer? That's not cool.
Back in the classroom, we asked 8th grader Noah Janda, as well as his classmates Sarah and Langston, what they think it would be like to be taught by the avatar of a movie star or a professional athlete.
I think I'd find it, like, very weird to be taught by, like, a famous person.
A lot of people, like, they get bored easily in class and they don't, like, pay attention. But if they see, like, somebody they look up to teaching them, I feel like it would help them pay attention more.
For me personally, I don't think that worked well for me because I do like seeing how other teachers teach and just exploring how they think of a subject and stuff like that.
I want to go back to the kid question. Victor, do you have any kids in your life? Are you an uncle? Are you a parent?
I'm an uncle.
You're an uncle. So if you showed your nieces and nephews what your technology can do, how do you explain it to them now? And what would you encourage them to do or caution them to do?
Well, my niece is not even a month old, so I think I'll probably start.
Early days.
I would probably wait a few years.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, my advice is always the same. I think you want to get kids and everyone else, for that matter, also adults, but you want to get them to use these technologies. What are they good at? What are they bad at? I would give the same advice that I give to CEOs. I would say, buy ChatGPT for your company. Let people play around with it. Let them tell you what they do with it. What does it work for? What does it not work for? We don't learn that from reading books about how AI could go wrong or articles that talk about how GPT technology works, right? We learn by doing.
That was Victor Riparbelli, CEO of Synthesia. You can see his full talk at TED.com. Thank you so much to the students and staff at Francis C. Hammond Middle School in Alexandria, Virginia. As the technology advances, of course, so will the debate over its effects on kids, their brains, and how they learn. And meanwhile, we are already seeing that AI companies are responding to those concerns. ChatGPT, for example, recently rolled out Study Mode, a chatbot that doesn't give kids answers outright, but acts more like a tutor. We'll be watching this space.